Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
It's great to be here again, and I was going to speak a lot on Israel, but I've just been reflecting on the theme that you're going through at the moment, and I changed the message yesterday from what I'd said to Pastor Stewart, because he said that your spiritual theme this month is on hope and igniting your hope, and even from the Psalms. And just this Psalm was one that's been coming alive to me, so I want to bring it to you today. So if we can turn to Psalm 126, I have it on the screen behind, and says there it's a psalm of ascents. When the Lord restored the captivities or the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And then it says here, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our captives, or other translations has fortunes there. Lord, like the streams in the Negev, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy, and those who go out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Abba, Father, we ask that you would just let this word, this text, come alive to us today. Lord, as we lead up to the time of remembering your birth, your incarnation, God, we pray that we would see just some great things coming out of your word, and put in our hearts that we could run the race with hope in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things we say that we can have hope with is knowing that we serve the God of restoration. I've seen so many things happen in this world that really life can go pear-shaped real fast. Anybody ever experienced that? But God restores. And I believe God loves to restore. And we serve that God of restoration. Our hope is in a God of restoration, both in our past, our present, but also in our future. God's got you through everything you've ever been through. You realize that? Who's ever faced some tough things in your past? God's got you through to this day. He's made it. He's going to get you through to the end. He is making the way for you. You can have hope that our God of restoration will get us through regardless what life will throw at us. And I guarantee life will throw all kinds of things at us. I was teaching a class once, and there was a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds in front of me, and I was talking about how life can be tough sometimes. And I realized that a classroom of about 20 people there, younger ones, had not had one major crisis in their life. And they didn't understand what I was saying about life can sometimes be tough. And I said, well, keep this in mind for when a few years comes along. Because life is guaranteed to throw some things at you. The question is whether you go through teary times and struggle times in a life, can you believe in the middle of that time that there is a harvest that is coming? When you're having those tough times, can you believe in hope that you are going to make it through, that it is going to come out to an end that you may not have even expected, but God has it under control. And God is the God of restoration. One thing about hope. Hope is not something passive. Oh, yeah. I hope so. Hope is something that's got active action behind it. Not that I hope. But I hope, I believe, I have faith that this will take place. And because we have that hope, we start to align our lives up to the outcome that we're hoping for. Hope has to be active. And we have that active faith that God is going to get us through whatever we are facing today or whatever we're about to face tomorrow. We don't know. I mean, I've just been on the phone this morning. I've just had a tragic news that one of the young people in the congregation we led up in New York just a healthy young man. He's done his military service and been over in the Middle East and served there. And healthy, strong guy, just got hit with meningitis. This sounds really loud to me. Just got hit with meningitis and now has been declared brain dead. Just out of nowhere. And the family is just devastated and going, what's going on? Life can change so quickly. Life can turn around so rapidly. But if we don't have hope, we can't get through. We've got to have hope in our hearts that no matter what comes our way, our God will get us through. Amen? We've got to have that there. That means we have to ignite our fire, our hope. We have to set our hope on fire. It's not sitting back waiting, oh God, bring it to me. It's no, I choose to believe. I choose to believe, regardless what circumstances I see around me, I choose to believe. I'm going to set my hope on fire. I'm going to believe that God's going to restore the captivity, our bondage, that God is going to bring us all back to life again. Psalm 126 here is a psalm of restoration. It's a psalm of telling us that we are going to be restored. I can go on to the next slide. I can't get this clicker working. Oh, there we go. It is a psalm that talks about how God brings us back. The context of the psalm is that Israel had done the wrong thing. They'd been sent to Babylon. And in Babylon, they had the opportunity to turn their lives around by repenting and getting right with God. And if they did that, then God can do things with them. They had lost their hope. We see that in the books of Ezekiel. We see that in even in Daniel or in Esther. These books that were written when they're in the exile and showing them that the God of hope wants you to start believing again, wants you to ignite your hope because he wants to restore. The good news is that in exile, there in Babylon, they repented and God opened the way for them to be restored, to come back into the land. Again, they ignited their hope with action by repenting. Repenting turns our heart back to God. Repenting gets us connected with God. I see too many people wanting God to do things for them when they won't change their lifestyle. If we want God to do new things for us, we need to take the step and we need to change as well. If you expect God to do different things in your life than what you're doing now without you changing, that works into the definition of insanity. Expecting, doing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. If you want different results, guess who's got to change? We do. And we make the change and God can move. Our turning back to God gives room for God to restore and rebuild our lives back to him. And so this psalm talks about them returning back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. Joy over the total miracle of what God has done. He returned them back into the land. He enabled them to rebuild the cities, to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. Just a miracle of what God has done. He is the God of restoration. The biggest thing he did was restored their relationship back to him so they can be called his people again. God restores, enabling their hope to be fully realized. What joy! What joy! And that's where we need to ignite our hope, knowing that whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, we are working with the God of restoration who's looking to restore our lives, looking to bring us on to the next thing that he has for us. And we need to rejoice in all of our past restorations. Remember what God has done. Again, God has got every one of us through to this point. And we can have hope that he can restore us even more into the future. The whole aspect of what God wants to do. It's called a psalm of ascent. And the psalm of ascent are the ones that they sang as they came from the nations around to come up to Israel
to worship God, and in Israel to go up to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem to go up to the temple. These were the songs they sang, these wonderful psalms of ascent. And they all talk about how wonderful God is. We were here, but God got us to there. How wonderful God is. God has done the work for us, bringing us into his presence, coming up to worship him, thanking him for all that he's done. Can you be thankful for what God has done in your life up until this point? Can you be thankful in advance for what he's going to do even before we see it? See, if we're only thankful for once it's happened, that's really not thankfulness. That's just appreciation for what's happened. Thankfulness is a heart attitude that we believe it's going to happen even before we see it. We start thanking God. First verse, we have a look at this wonderful psalm. And the first verse tells us there is a psalm of ascent. Lord restored the captivities, or other translations puts the fortunes of Zion. When that happened, we were like those who dreamed. And here it is. They were there in Babylon, exiled, out from the land, in bondage, in captivity there. And it's impossible for them to come back into the land in their own strength. The Babylonians and the Persians were not going to let them go. But they kept believing. They kept praying. They repented. They kept coming back to God, praying. They ignited their hope that God was going to get them through. And God did. Raised up the Persian leader Cyrus, who's not even recorded as being a believer. And not only did he release the people out of the land of Egypt, which is the opposite of what Pharaoh did when they were in the opposite situation all those years ago in Egypt when Pharaoh tried to stop. Cyrus not only released them, he actually paid for them to go back into the land and paid for the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. What a turnaround of the captivity, of their bondage. Just like God wants to do with us. Impossible in the natural, but God possible in the supernatural. I don't know if you've ever been in an impossible situation where you're feeling captive, you're feeling in bondage, you're feeling trapped, lost, without any hope at the end of the tunnel. I know I've been there. It's not a pleasant place. You see down the end of this long tunnel, you can't see a light, and you're afraid that if there is a light, it's just a train heading straight for you to hit you anyway. Life can be like that. If you've ever been in that situation, it's a horrible place to be in. But God is possible. God is able. Amen. The whole concept here of the Hebrew literally says, when the Lord turned around the restoration of our bondage of Zion. The whole thing of turning it around, restoring our captivity, restoring our bondage, restoring the dryness. And it feels like we've had our fortune restored. It's like you've lost everything. And then God gives it back. I find when God gives it back, he often gives it back in a different way. God is creative. And he wants to restore us. And I don't know what you're all are going through here. But I do know one thing. God wants to restore you. God wants to fix your world. God wants to repair your world. A wonderful Jewish phrase is a tikkun olam, repairing the world. God wants to restore and repair. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lose your hope. Keep igniting your hope, because God wants to restore that hope and make that hope come to pass. Says there, we were like those who dreamed. Other ones draw it out a bit and says, we were like those who were dreaming. You ever been in a dream and you're in this glorious place and you wake up and think, aw. This is like the dream came true. I was talking to someone just recently who their life is in the process of being restored. And the things are happening in their life they never ever thought would ever happen. And it's happening. And while I'm talking to them, reached out and pinched me under my arm, which is a very painful place to get pinched. If you don't believe it, just do it to your neighbor right now. Pinch them under the It hurts. And I went, ow, what's that for? Well, I just wanted to see if I'm dreaming or not. I said, well, pinch yourself. Why pinch me? But they said, it's like I'm dreaming. It's coming to pass. And I never thought this would happen. I had hope. Hope against hope. And now I'm seeing it unfolding in front of me. See, God wants to do that with all of us. God wants us to sit back and marvel at our lives. Oh my goodness, I can't believe what's happening. Now that's a tough place to think about when we're at the bottom. But God wants to bring us to the top. The scripture says, you are the head, not the tail. You are above, not beneath. Amen? The Septuagint, the Greek translation that's written a couple of hundred years before Jesus, uses this passage and translates it and says, we were like people who were comforted. You ever had it really tough, as absolutely devastated, and then comfort comes and you're kind of like, yeah. God wants to do that to us. A couple of hundred years after Jesus, the Jewish people wrote called the Targum. It's like a paraphrase Bible, an extended Bible. And in there, they wrote the words, we were like the sick who were healed. You ever been really, really, really sick and you think, this is it? And all of a sudden, bam, the healing comes and it's kind of like, wow. We were like the sick who were healed. When God restores, when he releases us from bondage, when he repairs us, we will feel like we have been healed. Like we've had that comfort, that hug from God. You know, it's great getting a hug from someone to give you the hug on the outside. But I've found God gives this hug on the inside. That hug on the inside that kind of like transforms our world. God wants to do this to us more and more as we walk with him. He wants to restore us. He wants to rebuild us. He wants to turn our lives around in such a way that feel like we're in a dream, that we've been like miraculously healed in our world. But we have to live our lives God's way, with God's heart, with God's attitude. That gives space for God to do his restoration. I've been through a lot of tough things in recent years. And the one thing I've found with all of this, going through this, is keep your spirit sweet. Keep your spirit sweet. That's tough when you're in the middle of it. I was watching someone going through something that's actually going through it right now. Things that I went through a couple of years ago. And I kept saying to them, yes, I hear what you're saying. Yes, injustice. Yes, this is wrong. Yes, all these things. But keep your spirit sweet. Because when you keep your spirit sweet, you enable God to work in your world. Oh, but this is wrong. That's wrong. I know. Keep your spirit sweet. And sadly, at the moment, their spirit is not sweet and God's not able to move with them. Until their spirit becomes sweet, that's when the restoration can come in. I believe God wants to restore, but it's tough when we're going through it. Verse 2 says there, our mouths were filled with laughter. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Next slide. And our tongues with songs of joy. And it was said among the nations, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. See, Israel, when they got back in the land, were able to have this full of laughter and singing and rejoicing over the restoration that God has done. Their hope had been realized. They ignited their hope. They saw their hope come into reality. That Psalms of Ascent, they're able to look back as they went up to that temple, that rebuilt land, that rebuilt city, that rebuilt temple, and say, look what God has done. God is amazing. And Israel rejoiced. They experienced God's restoration and returned from an impossible situation in Babylon. It says there, their mouths, their tongues, they excitedly spoke out the praises of God. I see people who God's done great things for them and they just stand there. Aren't you excited? Yeah. Well, tell your face. Let it come out your mouth. Well, I suppose so. No, let's do it. We've got to get excited over what's done. We need to be excited over what God's done in the past, because that affects our present and it gives us faith and hope to believe for our future. Hope realized rejoices in God's past actions and it ignites our hope for whatever else God's doing. But I see too many Christians, they're not rejoicing over what God's done in the past. Just to be really open and honest here, sometimes I find some Christians some of the saddest people out there. Seriously. I get more fun from going, I ride a motorbike normally and would have taken it, but I'm getting it ready for a big long ride tomorrow. But I ride with some pretty interesting characters at times. There's sometimes more fun than some Christians, you know? Because they're happy, they're relaxed and laid down. I meet some Christians. I don't want to ask them how they are because they're going to tell me. I don't want to hear it again. I talked to a friend who bumped into a mutual friend who I hadn't seen for 10 years. And how are they? Oh, well, you know, let me tell you what they're... And I could tell them what they're going through. I said, how do you know? You talked to... No, I haven't talked to them for 10 years. Well, how do you know? Because they were doing that 10 years ago. Complaining about everything wrong going on. Let's get excited over what God has done. Not just always focused on what you think's going wrong. Just please shut up. And talk about the good things of what God's doing. Because he is the God of restoration. We can always lament on what's not working, but hope focuses on what we believe the answer's going to be. Igniting our hope, active hope, thanks God in advance before it happens. Do you understand that? It thanks God in advance. We need to rejoice in advance. If you're praying for something to happen, start thanking God now for when it's going to happen. If you just withhold your thanks till later, that's almost a form of revenge. But if we believe and thank him before he's done it, we're saying, God, we believe in you. We know you're going to do it. The question is, are you excited over God's restoration that he's going to do in your life? See, again, igniting our hope, an active hope, rejoices before we see the fullness. Then at that time, it says there. In other words, it was after the event. We need to keep rejoicing long after God's miracles. Too many people forget about what God's done in the past actions and done in our past, and they stop rejoicing. And then they wonder why they don't see any more miracles. It's almost like, well, why should I do anything for you? You're never happy with what I do for you. Ever found some people like that? It's kind of like, why should I bother going out of my way? Because the moment I do something, you're not going to be happy with it, and you're just going to be complaining about what I haven't done for you. You ever have kids? No matter what you do sometimes. So unless you start being happy with what we're doing now, we are not going to go out to McDonald's and get an ice cream or something. Let's rejoice in what God's doing. Let's be happy about it. Let's start having faith and hope. Amen. It was said among the nations, it says here. It was said among the nations. Note this, that others noted and others marveled at God's restoration of his people. I like how the New Living Translation puts it, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Look, what amazing things. See, this testimony of praise is from those around who are watching Israel, not from Israel itself, those who are watching. And here's the thing, you've got people watching your life right now. They're watching how you handle everything that life is throwing at you. They are looking to see your response. You've heard the phrase that sometimes we are the only Bible that many people are reading. We are the only Jesus that many people see. And they need to see that you have hope. They need to see that you're on fire. Many people are watching you. And your hope will ignite that restoration, and they will praise over what God wants to do. God wants to restore you, rebuild you in such a way that those looking at you will become amazed and want to know, how do I get that? How do I experience what you're going through? How do you get through? Well, I need to have what you have. God is setting up your life now to do great things, and you just have to trust God with the process of what comes your way. That can be tough when you're in the middle of some tough things, but you've got to trust God. I was talking to someone before the service about loss of a loved one. It's tough in the middle of that to trust God, that I don't know what's going on, God. And we can ask the word why. Sometimes we don't get the answer, though, because trust says, I don't need the answer, God. Thank you for letting me ask the question. But I don't need the answer, but I've got hope that somehow you're going to get me through. I know you're going to get me through because you got me through everything in my past. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Who wants a miracle to happen in your life? I got the stage, I don't anymore. I'm tired of needing a miracle. I just want a smooth sailing for a while. Because if you want a miracle, God will arrange your life where you need a miracle. The only way you can get through is having restoration happen in a miraculous way. Next verse says, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Verse 3. The Lord, Israel, fully confesses their praise. The other ones came from the nations. Now they confess their praise over their realized hope. Hope has been ignited. They're on fire. The word for joy here is a great word that says simcha. One verse back, that's it. Simcha. Simcha is a wonderful Hebrew word that means maximum rejoicing. It's a word for rejoicing to the max. Look at this! The things that we've hoped for has come to pass, and now we're filled with joy. Are you filled with joy? Again, I see so many Christians, they can be the saddest people out. Kind of like, come on, let's get excited about God. Oh, well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but I do know God. I don't know what you're going through. And please don't tell me, because I don't want to hear it again. But I do know God. I do know the joy of the Spirit. See, happiness is that wonderful word that's based on happenings. What's happening around us will influence the smile on our face. If things aren't happening good, the smile goes. If it is happening good, hopefully the smile comes. Although I've seen people get remarkably blessed and there's still no smile. And suck it on lemons. Joy is something on the inside. Joy is the presence of God's Spirit on the inside that is not influenced by what's happening on the outside. I've known some people who are believers who are some of the most joyful people I know who have some of the most tragic of lives on the outside. Anybody know someone like that? Be like that type of a person. Be that person for others around you. So they can say, how do you get through? Because I have the joy of the Lord on the inside. It is keeping that sweet spirit regardless what life throws at us. The message of Job. Who's ever felt like Job at times? Job. One thing after the other, after the other, after the other. Can it go more pear-shaped? Yes, it can! And through the whole thing, the message of Job is not why do the righteous suffer? It never asks that question. It never answers that question. What it does ask, what it does push forward, is can you still worship God at the point of your pain? Can you still worship God at the point of your pain? It's easy to worship when everything's going great. But what about when everything goes That's the theological word for count our blessings. Remember that old song? What's it saying? Count our many blessings. Name them what? How many times? One by one. Name them. What a list of what God has done. And it will what? Surprise you. Why will it surprise you? For what? The Lord has done. Sometimes we just got to stop and think, let me look that direction and see what God's done. Wow! I can believe to go that direction now. We just got to do it. Hope rejoices. Hope is active over what God has done, is doing, and what we believe he's going to do. Next verse. Verse 4. Restore our captivities, or restore our bondages. Other translations has restore our fortunes. The Hebrew word there is a bit complex. Lord, restore like the streams are renewed in the Negev, or down in the desert in the south. The psalmist gives a prayer of restoration based on the words of the prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and others who declared that God's restoration of Israel would be like transforming the desert into a garden, even as the Garden of Eden. Bring it back to what it was at the beginning. Have any of you ever traveled into the outback of Australia? You see out there just desert, and then the rains come. Every now and then. And when the rains come, I've seen the desert. I worked up for a while in Leonora and went out from there when the rains came. It's the desert transformed into this massive garden. Wildflowers everywhere. Even all the wildlife, the animals all came back. The birds came back. Just out of nowhere, we're in this spectacular, massive, amazing garden that a few weeks before was desert. And will soon be desert maybe again. But at the moment is an explosion of wildflowers. That's what God wants to do with us. Restore everything we've been through, what we're going through, what we're facing, to be like Eden. Having our hope realized will cause that thanksgiving and joy to happen around, and that prayer to come back where our bondage will be released. And if you're going through stuff, we will pray for you in a moment at the end of the service to ignite your hope, knowing that God wants to do his miracle through you. So all those around will rejoice, and you can rejoice. Your song and mouth can sing God's praises again, because he wants to transform us, our world, into being like we have running rivers, streams in the desert. God loves restoration. God is the God of restoration. As Pastor said before, I've come back from Israel. Had 3 months of amazing time there at the Garden Tomb, leading hundreds around each day, showing this is the place, this is the place. Wasn't even pointing to PowerPoints. This is the place, pointing to it, of what God did for us those 2,000 years ago. But also looking around the country and realize 70 years ago, Israel was just a swamp, hardly much going on at all. And in 70 years, in spite of under continual warfare, continued terrorist attacks, continued assaults, they've stopped over 550 attacks this year already. Constant attacks, yet turned it into an amazing country. One of the world leaders in so many areas of technology, the startup country of the world, transformed it from being swamp into being one of the leading countries of the world. Amazing. Israel's national anthem, I don't know if you know, is called the Hatikva. The Hatikva is the words, the hope. It was written long before Israel was declared a nation, back in 1878. And the hope was, our hope will not be lost, it says. Our hope of 2,000 years, our hope to have a land of our own. We have not lost our hope. Guys, don't give up on what you're hoping for, because God has his own time clock that I found is not our time clock. When he said, I will quickly do this in a little while or soon when I get there. So what do you mean by your soon? It's not my soon. Yours is longer than mine. Praise God. Next one, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves with them. Life is going to have its tearful moments. Israel had a lot of tears going to Babylon's. They lost it all because they walked away from God. They tried to blame God, but the people put the blame, the prophets put the blame back on the people, and they had to repent. And they said, now we have hope. I grew up on a farm down the southwest, and I realized it takes three things to grow plants. First of all, it takes water. And we can have those watery times in our life, those tears. Ever had tearful times? If you're over, you know, five, you probably have. Those tearful times. But if you only stay with tearful, watery times, you become a swamp. You also need sunshine. Sunshine required along with the tears and good balance causes growth. But if you only ever have sunshine, you just end up becoming a desert. And I've had seen some people just, and this seems so shallow. Come back when you've experienced life a bit and talk to me. And the other thing, I find that you need a bit of fertilizer. Have you ever found life is very happy to supply some fertilizer your way? But if you end up with only fertilizer, you become a sewage. So it takes this correct balance. And I found that God is very good at growing things. And he knows the exact balance between our tears, our happy sunshine times and the not so good times. And they blend it all together and we keep our hope active. God can cause us to bloom as that Garden of Eden. Be hope, be joyful. Hope and joy in spite of what you're going through. No matter what you're facing, joy on the inside, not focused on what's happening on the outside. Israel did repent. They did praise. And they sowed seeds of faith and hope for God to move. And they reaped the harvest. Growing up on a farm, I realized farmers are crazy. Because you take the grain and you put it in the ground, frequently on the hope that the rains are going to come. Because if the rains don't come, you've lost everything. You put the seed in the ground, often even before the rains come, or just when a little bit of rains come. But you've got to believe for the rest of it to come. Next one. New Living Translation says, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. So you've got to believe, folks, your harvest is coming. Keep sowing in faith. Keep igniting your hope. It will come. You might go out with weeping, but keep sowing seeds of life in hope through your hard times, rejoicing that the harvest is going to come, even if you don't see it yet. The harvest is going to come. The concept of carrying the seeds to sow. In fact, even in the Hebrew, has a concept here of trailing the seeds behind them as they go. Weeping because of the tough things that's happening in their life. Devastated at times, but in hope, still sowing the seeds of life. Believing that one day that harvest is going to come through. One day it's going to happen. Says that they'll come back and they'll carry the sheaves with them. That's the finished harvest, folks. That's the finished harvest. The seeds came up and they bore the fruit. And the harvest does come. Sometimes we go through some tough things. Talk about being abundant in our life. Lest the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. But if it does die, 30, 60, 100-fold. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but faith says somehow we're going to get through this. You might be currently in tears. Know this, that God's got it. Keep sowing in hope. Keep doing it. Keep believing that one day your harvest is going to come because we serve the God of restoration. As it says there in the New Living Translation, they weep as they go to plant their seeds, but sing as they return with the harvest. That later Jewish writing written a couple of hundred years after Jesus called the Targum said, when he bears his sheaves and grazes on the young growth from the furrow. Growing up on the farm as a young boy, I'd see my dad go out and we'd plant the grain in the ground. The ground's just churned up and just see dirt. And I'd see my dad would go out there and he'd get down on his hands and knees and he'd look down along the ground. I think, what are you doing? I watched it for a couple of years and looking along the ground. And I said to him once, what are you doing when you do that? He said, get down here and look. And there, standing up, was just dirt. But when I got down on the ground, on my knees, little spurts of the grain had just come up. Just broke the surface a fraction. But when you got down on your knees and looked, you saw this green carpet. And I saw this green carpet. Where'd that come from? Stood up, gone. Look down, there's a green carpet. Get up, gone. God reminded me of that many years later. If you want to see the growth, get on your knees. Get down on your face, because that's where hope is realized. We get on our face before God. God, I need to see the growth for the future. I need to see the hope. Keep believing. Keep pushing in. Keep igniting the hope. You might need to get on your knees to see it. But when you do, you'll see God's growth. The harvest is coming, folks. The harvest is coming. Again, I don't know what you're going through, but the harvest is coming. Next. Psalm 126, remembrance, restoration, rejoicing. Can you have all three? Remember where we are. Our devastation, our loss, when we went away from God, there's what they looked at. Remember sometimes when tragedies of life hits us, times we're blindsided, times when things go pear-shaped. Life happens that way. Anybody experienced it? Yeah. But God, because we believe that we serve a God of restoration, we can have hope. And igniting our hope, that means we stir it up. We don't wait for it to happen. And we see the result. Hope believes long before we've seen the result. My dad would get down on his knees and look down that crop where he could only, first of all, just see dirt. But he kept doing it till he could see that green carpet. Can we ask the praise team to come back? God wants to restore. He's restored our lives in the past, amen? He's got you through this far. He's restoring even today. And no matter what we're going to face tomorrow, he can restore again. Can you say amen? That's what we've got to believe. Look what God's done in your life. And those around will look and say, wow, it's amazing to see what God's doing with you. It's amazing to see what God's doing in your life. But we've got to keep the joy, regardless what goes on. We've got to keep the hope active. Without hope, the heart becomes very, very sick. Hope keeps it going. Hope. An active hope that igniting it, setting it on fire. Rejoice is igniting our hope. Rejoice, making our mouth and our tongue speak out the words of life. That little thing behind our teeth can affect the whole direction of our life. Life and death, Proverbs says, is in the power of the tongue. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy, with thanksgiving. Whatever is happening in your life, start to give thanks to God. Start to get that hope activated. Would you stand with me, please? Again, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's on in your life. But I know God. I know God is the God of restoration. And I've seen so many lives put around. God's turning my life around. I've seen others have gone through all kinds of tragedy, and God turns their life around. He can do for you. You just have to believe it. And start giving thanks before you've even seen it come to pass. Keep that spirit sweet. Keep that hope alive. because he wants to restore. Just as we're closing, we'll close in prayer, close with a song. But if you need prayer, I'm more than happy to stay here and pray with you. If you need prayer for hope, for whatever it is you're going through, you've been through some things and or going through it, and you need restoration to take place, God is here. God is here. And God wants to meet with you today to get your hope active. Get your hope stirred up. Get your hope ignited so you can believe that God can and will do it. Amen. God, I pray for everyone here. All the things that they're going through, you know more of what they're going through than what they know what they're going through. And Lord, I pray that you would touch each one. Speak deep into their lives, into their hearts. And give them hope. Ignite that hope within them. That they can believe for bigger, better, greater things. That you can get them through. That you are the God of restoration and you will restore. You will reveal your truth into their heart. Lord, I pray that they would have that encounter with you to have that hope realized. Bless everyone here. Let them have a great week. Let them have a great Christmas, regardless what's gone on in their families, gone on around them. Let the joy be on the inside, overflowing out into whatever's happening on the outside. Let your joy, let your hope burst alive out of their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.